pleasing in your sight, bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. And I pray, God, that the seed of your word will find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, so that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, put that baby right here on the front row. I need all of that. I need that right there in my life, right there. Most of you remember when you were a child, somebody asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they would say something like a nurse or a doctor or a fireman or a teacher or a police officer, football player, basketball player. They'd come up with something. Here's what's interesting, though. When they made that statement as a child, or when you made that statement as a child, there was a disconnect between what you said and what your parents did. Here's what I mean. If you said you wanted to be a doctor when you were a child, somewhere along the line, somebody should have started thinking about what you needed to know to be a doctor before you got to high school. Right? If you said you wanted to be a teacher, hey man, we need to get you around some teachers. Why you want to be a teacher? Let's help you be a teacher so that when you grow up, guess what you can be? A teacher. It's this idea of educating our children with the end in mind. Where do we want them to be? Where are they now? And how do we move them from where they are to where they want to be? But I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, even more important than educating your children with the end in mind is how will you disciple your child with the end in mind? See, while we ask our children, and we've been asked on multiple occasions, what do you want to be when you grow up? We don't ask our children, what does God want them to be when they grow up? Because here's the truth of the matter. You can be what God wants you to be in whatever field you choose to go into. Because God is not concerned about what you do as much as he's concerned about who you are and how you live. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and it's a day not just of celebration, but it's a day of recognition. Recognition of what, Pastor? Recognition of influence. A recognition of influence, because behind every God-fearing life, there is often a God-following influence. And for somebody today, you are standing on the shoulders of a spiritual foundation that was laid for you by your parents, by your mother, by your grandparents. And for others of you, you may be wondering, what has God gotten you into, bringing you into parenthood? See, one of the things that we've learned over the years is that one of the things that inspires people to come back to church when they have left the church is when they start having children. Because when they have children and they walk out of the hospital, there's no parenting manual that comes with those little bundles of heathenism. I mean joy. Right? You don't know what to do with them. And you get there and, man, they're chilling the line and they doing all kinds. And you try. I wonder where they get that from. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. Where my children got to learn all that stuff from, right? Today, I want to encourage somebody to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul is talking to Timothy this morning in our text. And what's interesting is when Paul talks to him, he's talking to Timothy not about his assignment as much as he is talking about his upbringing. He's talking to Timothy about his lineage. He's talking to Timothy and basically encouraging Timothy to look at and realize the foundation upon which he is standing. Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, what's in you, before it was in you, it was in your mama. And before it was in your mama, it was in your grandmother. Now here's what's interesting. if we look at our lives, there's a lot of stuff that we can attribute that we've inherited from our grandparents or from our parents. Whoo, you got a temper like your daddy. Whoo, you act just like your mama. But can they say that about your spirituality? Can they say that about walking with Jesus? Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to raise a child from the cradle to calling. How to raise a child from cradle to calling. Now, when I talk about calling and you're calling in God, I'm not talking about a call to preach. I'm not talking about a call to be a minister. I'm talking about a call to follow God, to obey God, to live a life that's pleasing to God. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Four things I want you to see today around this idea of raising a child from the cradle to calling. And if you're watching today, you can download our church app and find a fill-in-the-blank version of our outline there, or go to goodhope.org. First thing I want you to see today, if you're going to raise a child from the cradle to calling, and I need you to understand that raising of a child, just in case you're wondering, doesn't stop when your child gets quote unquote grown. And it really doesn't stop even when they get out of your pocket after they claim to be grown. Because as a parent, you are always pouring into and directing your child. And if you're blessed, you will have the opportunity to do that with your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, and your great nieces and nephews as well. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you must model a sincere faith before your child. You must model a sincere faith before your child. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the text says, the ESV translation, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Paul talks about a sincere faith, a faith that is without hypocrisy, a faith that is real, a faith that is genuine. He's not talking about costume Christianity. He's talking about a real faith, because Timothy didn't just hear about God in his home. He saw God lived out in his home. His mother just didn't talk faith. She walked faith. And Paul says, when you look at your spiritual lineage, he says you can see what's in you by looking back and seeing what's in your mama and seeing what's in your grandmama. My brothers and my sisters, one of the sad truths in the world today is that many of our children inherit our idiosyncrasies and our unresolved pain from our past more than they inherit the love of Jesus that we say we have. The Bible says that before Timothy became a leader in the church publicly, his faith was established and developed in the home privately. And it's a shame that so many of us, help me Lord Jesus, are more on the campus than we are in our home. God says, we're going to see what's produced in your home, not by who you are on the campus, but who you are in your home. And so he says, look at your mother and your grandmother, and we see the evidence of that sincere faith that's in you. Eunice, her name means victory or victorious or well conquering. It's a compound word, E-U. Means good, and N-I-C-E or N-I-K-E, Nike, means victory. She was a person whose name, talking about his mother, suggested victory in living. Now, here's what's interesting. You and I both know a mother who walks in faith can raise children who walk in victory. But that faith has to be evident on more than just Sunday. How does it show up in your living every day of the week? We know you can praise God on Sunday. But what else is coming out of your mouth Monday through Saturday? There needs to be some consistency in your life and in your living in order for you to model a sincere faith before your child. Now watch this. His grandmother's name was Lois. Lois, and that name is not as clear in terms of its etymology as Eunice. It's believed by many scholars to refer to being better or being more desirable or being agreeable. But here's what God wants you to understand. You see this progression in who they are. Eunice is named by Lois, and then Timothy is named by Eunice, and the name Timothy means one who honors God. One who honors God. So there was an intentionality in not only what he was named, but how he was raised. It was as if he was named with the end in mind, because we want him to honor God. You know, it's amazing how folk come up with names now. Just making up stuff. Just no meaning to the name at all. And you like, huh? Like you, that's the name you came up with? But there's certain names that people stay away from because you don't want your child to fulfill that name as part of their life. Like, I don't know any children named Judas. Doesn't come up on the top names for boys' lists. You don't find a whole lot of girls named Jezebel. Just not a popular name for baby girls. You understand what I'm saying? But they name that boy Timothy because they want his life to honor God. Listen to me carefully. Children will listen to what you say, but they will imitate what they see. And I don't care what you do, you can give them instructions, but they will learn from your actions. So I want to encourage somebody, even today, live your faith openly at home. Model praying, but not just praying over your children when they're gone, but praying with your children. Matter of fact, let me just throw this in parenthetically for somebody, even your grown children, right? Because we talk about praying over the little children. No, you pray with the grown children too. Like your child start acting up and talking crazy. Now, bow your head. Let's pray. We praying right now. We praying right in the name of Jesus. Don't make me go in there and get that oil. We praying, right? Get some oleo, lard, some oil-based product, 10W40. But we praying right now. Because you've got a model for your children. The faith that you say you have. And your child needs to see you trust God. Even in difficult times, no matter how old they are. So they can see the example of what it means to trust God. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must teach the word of God to your child. You must teach the word of God to your child. I love what verse 15 says, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. From childhood, Timothy didn't just stumble into Scripture. He was intentionally taught the word of God from childhood. Listen to me. Faith isn't deposited and developed in a child accidentally. It happens intentionally. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, I can't teach my child. Then if you can't teach your child, then you better get to the place where you learn how to teach your child the word of God. Because here's the truth of the matter. You can't take children where you haven't been. Now, y'all, we have worked really, really hard. When I came to Good Hope, now 32 years ago, our average age was somewhere around 60, 65 years old. And we have truly become, over the last 32 years, a multi-generational church. And we work really, really hard to disciple every age group in an age-appropriate, generationally relevant manner. But here's what I need you to know, even for your children and your grandchildren, we are here to reinforce the faith that you teach them at home. We should not be the primary teachers of their faith walk with God. They need to see it at home more than they hear it at church. Y'all getting real quiet on me. That means you are being convicted. I get you. Because they need to see. You need to know more than just now I lay me down to sleep. If you don't do anything but pick up the daily bread and go through the principle in the daily bread with your child, teach your child the word of God. See, a child's mind is like soil. And you've got to prep it and you've got to get it ready so that when good seed is planted, good fruit will come forth out of your child. So you've got to teach the scripture consistently, not occasionally. You got to create rhythms for them, just like we do in the church now, in terms of, hey, this is our prayer emphasis week. This is our service week, right? Because you complain about how selfish and self-centered your child is, but you've never taught them how to give. You've never taught them how to serve. You've never taught them how to be a better person in their day-to-day living. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4, let's read it together. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Number three, you must cultivate an environment where your child's faith can grow. You must cultivate an environment where your child's faith can grow. Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, of faith that dwelt, circle that word, first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells, circle that word, dwells in you as well. That dwelt, past tense, dwells, present tense, but here's the key. That word means to be at home in, to live in, to inhabit, to reside within. In other words, here's what Paul is telling Timothy and what he's saying to all of us. The faith that we have should not be a faith that needs to get visitation rights. The faith that God calls us to have ought to take up residency in our lives. This is not occasional belief. This is not borrowed religion. This is not Sunday spirituality. It's not an inherited tradition. It is the evidence of a transformation in your life. And this is a faith that you should be living every day. This is not a grandmama went to church, mama liked religion, and now I know some stories. Faith moved into grandma's heart, took up residence in mama's life, and now occupies Timothy's soul. Somebody in here, you can look back and trace the spiritual legacy, the lineage of people who believe God and trusted God with their life. Here's the problem, though, for many of us. We inherited a legacy that many of us have not continued. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park there for a second. Those of us who were baby boomers, born between 1946 and 1964, oldest baby boomers this year will turn 80. Youngest baby boomers will turn 62. And we are a generation who are proud to profess when it comes to being a Christian, we had a drug problem growing up. Now, you had a drug problem because you got drugged to church every Sunday. You got drugged to church every Sunday. Some of y'all remember Sunday school, Sunday morning, afternoon service, evening service, BTU, BYPU, Wednesday night Bible study, Tuesday choir rehearsal, Sunday, Thursday teachers meeting. Y'all remember all, drug. And we were drugged to church because the belief was the more you in church, the better the person you're going to be. And so this is what our generation said. I ain't going to make my children come to church. I'm going to let them make up their own mind. I'm going to let them find faith for themselves. I ain't going to make my children go to church like my mom and daddy made me. The best part of your life and who you are as a person is because somebody took you to church and somebody introduced you to Jesus. Now you're going to let children make up their own mind? And it's amazing because spirituality is the only area we let children make up their own mind. You don't sit there in a restaurant talking about, do you feel like eating vegetables today? Oh, you don't want vegetables? Okay, what do you want? You want four desserts? All right, we're going to get you four desserts. But when it comes to God, now all of a sudden we want folk to discover on their own. If they could discover on their own, God wouldn't have given them to you. And shame on you if you can count a legacy in front of you or behind you and see no legacy in front of you. That you can see faith in your grandmama and your great-grandparents and your mama and your daddy and your aunts and your uncles and can't see evidence in your own children and in your own grandchildren. You got children and grandchildren being raised like heathens. No love for God. No God on their mind. I ain't even talking about coming to church. All right, you don't want them to come to church. All right, but do they at least know Jesus? Are they at least growing in their walk with God? And are you doing your part to make sure that somebody is helping them know God and grow to become? See, we're talking about generational transformation, y'all. Faith must be more than around you. It must be within you. And real faith is residential, not occasional. Doesn't just show up on Sunday. It's walking with me every day of my life. And so he says you got to have a sincere faith, an authentic faith, a real faith. See, the question is not, do you go to church? The question is, does faith live at your home? Does the Holy Ghost live at your house? Some people have a vacation faith. Timothy had a residential faith. Let's go to the last thing, number four. If you're going to raise a child from the cradle to the calling, to their calling, number four, you must trust God by pouring spiritual truths into your child. You got to trust God. Now, when I say trust God, here's why I say trust God. The text says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that Paul saw evidence of a sincere faith in the life of Timothy. He saw what was in Timothy. He saw what God was doing through Timothy. And he saw where Timothy came from. So the evidence was there. And here's what God wants you to understand. You've got to trust him when you're pouring into your children, when you're ministering to your children, to your grandchildren, even if you don't see immediate evidence that what you're giving them is changing them. Sometimes you just got to plant the seed and then wait for the seed to germinate to produce fruit. Let me help some mother right now. God's just called you to be faithful. Faithful in your journey, faithful in loving him, faithful in becoming who God wants you to be, and walking that life in front of your child. Your child may not get it right away. It may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years before your child gets it. But you don't depend on giving it based on your child getting it. You give it and trust God that God's gonna bring the increase. You don't panic. Don't get discouraged when you don't see immediate results. You keep planting, you keep praying, you keep sowing, and you keep believing. You've got to trust God with your child's journey. You may want to blame yourself for the past. That's what the devil will do. Blame you for the past. But the question is, not what happened in a past you cannot change, but are you trusting God with today and the future? Keep sowing, even when growth is unseen, because what you deposit, God can develop. But there can be no development when there's no deposit. You be faithful and let God do the rest. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants, nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And somebody in here, you need to just say to the Lord, Lord, give the growth. Give the increase, Lord. I'm going to do my part, but give the growth. I can't change yesterday. Fight with the past is a fight you cannot win. But what can I do today and what can I do tomorrow? And then trust you, God, to give the growth. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Today, as we celebrate mothers, I want us to celebrate not just for what they do, but for what they deposited in us. Because a godly mother, a godly grandmother, doesn't just raise children, she raises disciples. A godly mother doesn't just prepare you for school every morning, she prepares you for spiritual battles that are waiting for you. She doesn't just teach you how to live, she teaches you who to live for. Because when a mother models faith, a child can learn how to walk in faith. When a mother teaches the word, a child can learn how to hear the word. And what you pour in your child today, you give it an opportunity to show up in tomorrow. When you trust God, God does what only God can do. So let me just close by encouraging you to keep praying. Don't stop praying because you haven't seen the prayers answered the way you want them to be answered. Keep praying. Keep trusting what God can do. Keep teaching what God has taught you. Keep modeling the way God wants you to live and give them an example of how they should live. And remember, God can do what no other power can do. If you do your part, then you can look at God and say, God, I did what I could. I need you to do what only you can. Amen. Father, we thank you today for every mother, every grandmother, every spiritual mother. Those who are present, those who are under the sound of my voice, strengthen them to model faith. Strengthen them to teach your word. Strengthen them to teach not just with their words, but with the way they live. Help them to cultivate godly homes
and trust you with their children. Give them endurance when they feel weary, wisdom when they feel uncertain, and peace when they feel anxious. Let the seeds they plant produce fruit that glorifies. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Did I skip point three? No? I was good? Okay. I was rolling so fast. I was like, Listen. There's a your part and there's a God's part. And can I tell you, one of the ways you can get in trouble in life is when you try to make God's part your part. You can't make God's part your part. You can't understand God's part. Just do your part and then trust God to do his part. And I want to encourage somebody today to make a step, to take that stand. If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, or if you're watching today wherever you are and you're a mother, let me say this to you. The greatest gift you can give your child is not success, it's salvation. And if you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, if you're watching today wherever you are, and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, I want to give you an opportunity today to say yes to the Lord. Because you can't export what you haven't imported. You can't give to somebody else what you haven't gotten yourself. You can't model for your child a decision that you have not made for your own life. If you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to God today. Nothing makes you aware of your own inadequacies and your own need of God like having a child. Having a child that's looking up to you to be the model for them. Child that's looking to you as their first hero, their first shiro, their first love. And knowing now that you just can't make decisions living from day to day when you have somebody who needs decisions that will help them in their tomorrow. So if you don't know the Lord today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes. Those of you who are watching, bless you, I see you. Those of you who are watching, wherever you're watching from, the QR code in the screen is there, and it's a hot link. It'll take you to a place where you can see and know how to ask Jesus Christ into your life, how to become part of our church family if that's what you desire, have somebody pray for you and pray with you. Just indicate that, where that hot link takes you. But for those of you who are here today, you can use the QR code even in the sanctuary. But I want to give you an opportunity to come today. There are men and women who are up front who would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord in your life, who would love to show you how to make it right with God. Come on and come right now, wherever you are. Bless you. Bless you. Somebody else up in the balcony, come on and make that step today. You think you're hiding up there, but the Holy Ghost said you're not hiding. Now, you know I'll come up there and get you if I need to. You already know. I need somebody in the balcony. Raise your hand if you know. Pastor, come up here and get you. Now, he'll come up here and get you. Don't make him come up here and get you. But you know the Lord is moving on your heart. And God is saying, I want you to hear me, my love for you, that I love you where you are, but I don't want to leave you where you are. God says, I want to make something beautiful out of your life. Everybody who can, stand on your feet wherever you are. Up in the balcony, you too. Y'all not observing? Come on. Y'all not no audience? Amen. There's one audience in here. That's God. He's watching all of us. Amen. Amen. If you're here today, I want you to tell the person next to you, excuse me, I need to take care of something. And come say yes to God. We're going to sing, and as we sing, don't wait, tarry, dialogue, or debate with the devil. Come on and come.
Lord, I'm available to you.
My will I give to you.
My will I give to you.
I'll do what you say do.
I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord.
To show someone.
To show someone the way.
And enable me to say.
And enable me to say.
Come on, my storage is empty.
My storage is empty, and I am available to you.
Somebody today, I want to encourage you to come to start a new legacy in your life. That you can start a legacy for your children and your children's children. That you can commit yourself to being who God wants you to be, so you can model for them who God wants them to be. Come on, we're going to sing it again. While we sing, come on and come.
Lord, I'm available to you.
To you. Come on, my will.
My will I give to you.
I'll do what you say do.
Use me, Lord,
to show someone. I love that line in that song, my storage is empty. Because you know, when your storage is full, you living off of yourself and the stuff that you have and the stuff you think you know. How many of you know that sometimes God got to get you to a place of empty before you'll trust him? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, where God just got to get you on E. You tried everything you know to try. You've done everything you know to do. And you called everybody you know to call. And nothing is working. Nothing is working. And God says, okay, now do I have your attention? Can I talk to you now? Can I talk to you just for a few minutes, God? And there's somebody, you're here. Your storage is empty. Your storage is empty. Now, you can look like you're full. You can walk around and pretend like you're full. You can perpetrate like you're full, but the Lord knows your storage is empty. Your storage is empty. You won't eat. And God says, come on, now maybe you can hear what I'm trying to see. Maybe now you let me do something great and wonderful out of your life. Maybe now you can give him your all. We're going to sing it one more time. I'm just feeling in my spirit somebody needs to come. But I'm going to give you one more time. The Lord said, I'm going to give you another chance. Because here's what I heard you saying. If he's singing one more time, I'm coming. No, that's what you said. You said, if he's singing one more time, I'm coming. If he's singing one more time, I'm coming. I ain't going. But if he's singing one more time, all right. So I'm going to sing it one more time. Come on and come.
I'm available to you.
Come on and come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Ain't no shame. Come on. My will.
My will I give.
My will I give to you, God.
I'll do
what you say do. I'm tired of being disobedient. I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm going to do it your way, God.
Show someone the way.
And enable me to say. Come on and come. Come on and come. Don't be stubborn. Come on and come. 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 Come on and come.
My storage is empty.
Come on and come. Come on and come. Come on and come. Bless you. Come on.
My storage is empty. And I am available to you.
Now I want you to know that's Sister Kane. But I need somebody to know that don't get you off the hook. Because I just heard you say, phew, I'm so glad somebody came. No, no. Lord was talking to you too. Lord was talking to you too. I need y'all to pray right now. I don't know why I'm feeling led to do this. I know we're a little over today, but I need y'all to pray. Drop, just bow your heads. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. Father God, we come before you as a believing family, recognizing that while there are many who want to play church and play religion, we are here because of a relationship with you. Because you loved us so much, you sent your son to die for us. And we're here today, God, for no other reason than to help somebody else who needs you to know you. And help somebody else who knows you to grow in you so they can help somebody else know you. That's our purpose. That's our manifest destiny, God. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I come against every stronghold, every spirit that is holding somebody back. I come against the spirit of pride that will hold them back. I come against the spirit that would help them to pretend to be something that they're really not on the inside. God, I pray that they would move right now, whether they come forward or they make a move in their spirit. God, I just pray that they would make a move to say, God, I'm tired and I want to give my life to you. I've been fighting long enough. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, somebody who's here, we're talking about spiritual warfare this morning, God. Because we know that the gates of hell are trying to prevail. But you have told us in your word, God, that when we do what you have called us to do, in the power of your spirit, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. God, we ask you to move right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more time. Come on and come. I just prayed for you. Come on. Come on and come. Come on and come right now. Come on and come. We're going to rejoice. We won't look at you funny. I promise you. We're going to rejoice when you come. You need to come right now. You've had so much stuff happening in your life. And over again, God has given you another chance. You passed a second chance and a third chance. And God said, it's time now for you to stop playing with him. Stop playing with life. Give your life to him right now. Come on and say yes. If you're watching right now, and I'm talking to you, use that QR code and let us know. Say, Pastor, you talking to me? I need to say yes today. My storage is empty.
And I am available. My storage is empty. And I am available.
Come on, say yes today.
My storage.
Come on, stretch out your hands real quick. Stretch out your hands. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We thank you for the lives of these who have come and those who have responded online, those who are watching wherever they are in the world. And I pray, God, that what we don't record on earth, you will record in glory. I pray, God, for those who need you, that they would know you. I pray those that know you, that they would grow in you to become all that you have created us to be. Move by your spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. And where our prayers fall short, God, we ask you to make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving, asking you to do what only you can do. Help these lives, God, be changed and the testimony be great that they'll be able to say, look what the Lord has done. We give you glory right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's people say amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for those who have come. Come on, let's thank God for those who have come. It's not too late. It's not too late.
And I am available. My storage is empty. And I am available. My storage is empty. And I am available to you.
Amen.